C4. Number 4B.
Well, that would show us that question about matter. Do we really have to deal with a material universe? Can we discard it? And I think instead of just saying, well, matter is not real and so we better discard it, I think it's much better to analyze that whole question and see. That's why I like to quote these people, to see that the question, what is matter and is matter material, is really asking the question, is this question a right question or is it a wrong question? And seeing that it may be a wrong question, because matter is not material, therefore we never find an answer what the building blocks of matter are, and seeing that we may have to ask a completely different question and come to the insight that really matter is a false concept of the divine principle, that behind matter is a divine principle, but that matter is only a mistransformation of that divine principle. The moment we would understand principle, instead of matter we would have ideas. Instead of a material structure, we would have the structures of ideas. And that would consist really the substance of the universe. That those would be the constituents of the universe. And this is exactly what Mrs. Eddy has said in that sentence which we have taken this morning, that from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle and its infinite idea, and that that infinite idea has structure, laws and rules, and they demonstrate themselves. I want to show with that the simplicity of the teaching, and it's only a question, can we be so simple that we can stay with the simplicity? Can we just stick to that simplicity? So that we have not a material universe, but an ideational universe, and that we are not bothered by matter, by the concept of matter. And that, second, that we are not bothered by the people universe. This is even more annoying. Usually, there's nothing so annoying as people. They are really funny. They have a human mind, and that human mind has no principle. That's the nature of the human mind, that it is without principle. And so I would like to take up a little bit my pet subject about man, because somehow we have to resolve the question of what is man in the light of what we see today in Christian Science. And there, again, it is interesting to see that in the world at large, they ask for a new anthropology. They somehow know that the question of what is man has been answered wrongly. It has been answered through mostly through anatomy, that man is has a certain anatomy that distinguishes him from the animals, or it has been answered through psychology, it has been answered through physiology. But it has always been answered on a material basis, and always answered so as if man would be the crown of creation. Man is the crown of creation. Is it really? Even if we would know the 7 days of creation, we would know that it can't be the crown of creation. That after man, the creation of the 6th day, there was a 7th day, and that there is something more in being than man. And I'm always intrigued by that. You have to suffer it through. I can't get away from that question. I have to deliver it. I just can't get away from that we should be able to drop the concept that we are men and that we have to deal with men and people. That this question is already antiquated. And that Jesus has been a prototype not of another man, because he never said, I am the man, the son of man. He said, I am the son of God. He never identified himself anymore with that creation called man. He was already somehow feeling out that there is after man something more, a new mutation taking place, and that we can leave the concept of man right behind us, without trespassing on evolution, without trespassing on the law of creation. On the contrary, we should see that there has always been an evolution going on. There was first lifeless matter, some 3 billion years ago, and only then, little by little, there came the first motions of life, anorganic or organic life. How it happened, nobody knows. How suddenly out of anorganic matter, suddenly came life, organic matter. The great question, great query, great enigma still, nobody knows it. But it came, and out of this little signs of organic matter came a terrific evolution, an evolution through all the stages up to our forefathers up on the trees, the chimpanzee is our grand uncle, huh? Apparently our forefather doesn't exist anymore, but only the grand uncle, the chimpanzees, exist still. And they are going out. There are only a few left, but we can still see them. But there was a mutation taking place. I always like to think I'm a chimpanzee. I would like how a chimpanzee is thinking about the future, about the new mutation. Can he think out, and could he think out, what would be the mutation? What would be the new form of the chimpanzee when he mutated? What is man? Could he think out? He couldn't. From his chimpanzee point of view, he could not reach above his consciousness. He could never figure out and say, there is a higher form that will come after me, and I can see what it is and what it will do. He just had the faintest idea. And still today the chimpanzee, after a million years, cannot handle a computer, cannot drive a car. He still does not know what man is. But if in that evolution we had all those mutations, we must be aware that there must be a new mutation after man. Not one after the fishes, and one after the birds, and one after the animals, and one after the chimpanzee, and one after the primates. That there is now man, and that cannot be the end. Because everything that starts will have an end, and there must be something new. And as the chimpanzee just couldn't figure out what would come after him, because it's so different, completely different. In that way, we must see, there must come something that is completely different than man. And Jesus would never acknowledge that he is the Son of Man. He knew about the new mutation. He had already mutated. Actually, when the chimpanzees, our grand uncle through our grandfathers, mutated, it took perhaps 100,000 years or something like that to bring out the first concrete form of the new man. So 2,000 years in Jesus is no time in evolution, no time at all. But it looks as if Jesus would be the new form, not of man, but as what he said, I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. I'm no more man. I'm mutated. Just as we say, I'm no more chimpanzee. I don't like to be called a chimpanzee. And I react completely different as a chimpanzee. The chimpanzee can't build a computer, can't program a computer, cannot handle a computer. We can. Can you see what I mean? Do we have the bigness of consciousness to let the concept of man behind us? That's the issue as I see it. If we want to go on in the line of spiritual development, that to me is the great question. Do we have the courage and the bigness to see that Jesus brought a mutation, and that mutation is not making out of a mortal a better mortal, still remaining a mortal, a bit more moral mortal and a bit more ethical mortal and a bit a mortal that has a bit more dominion? Is it not so that with that mutation the whole old system of reference, the material human system of reference, has mutated into a divine system of reference? Just as the animal system of reference has mutated at that time into a human system of reference, is not the change that the Christ has brought, which said, I am the Son of God, the divine system of reference. I am that which thinks out from God. See? He was saying, I am no more a mortal, I am no more a man, I am no more the son of man, I am no more the son of Mary, I am no more the son of Joseph. He never identified him that way. I said, I came from the Father. I came from the divine principle and said, I am the Christ. Mrs. Eddy explains the Christ as the divine idea. And he said, I am that divine idea. I am the Christ. And therefore, I am with you all to the end of the world. I am an idea. I am an idea. I am the idea of what? Not of man. I am the idea of God. I am not the idea of man. I am the idea of God. I think we have that very chance today, so to say, to go on with that mutation, just as the first primate had a chance to get away from the chimpanzee, and those who didn't want to get away from the chimpanzee are still in the zoo. You can still see them. They are still here. See? Only that they get fewer and fewer. And I think we have to be aware, if not after a certain time, the consciousness of God looks down on mortals and says, yeah, you still want to be a mortal. Shall I put you in my zoo as an example of how a mortal looks like? The new consciousness has mutated. Jesus has ascended, meaning he got over the mortal concept. That's why it says in that ascension the body was no more seen, you see. He left the concept of having to have a body in order to be man. He left it completely. He said, I am an idea. I am the idea of being. And it seems very strange, just as for a chimpanzee, it must seem very strange when he looks at us and sees what we are doing and what we can do and what he cannot do. It must be very strange to look at us. And so it may be very strange for us to look at the idea of God. Say what that idea is, what it can do, what it can accomplish, how powerful it is. That this idea, that new mutation of man, that new mutation of man, you see, as the idea of God, has no more a time concept, no more a space concept. Whereas we still feel we have a space concept and a time concept. We have our space concept, the body that is just a little bit like this. Some are a bit slender, some are a bit fatter. And a time concept, we live about 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, and we think we make a terrific thing if we can live 90 years, and we feel that this is really terrific to demonstrate that we can 95 years, and perhaps 100 years, and look forward that perhaps next century people can live 110 years, as if it would matter. Doesn't matter a thing. Jesus didn't bother about it. He was quite happy to leave the old system of reference with 30 years. He didn't count his new form, his new stature, according to time and space. He could see that he was eternally here. He left the time concept. And he said, I'm with you always and everywhere. Space concept. He left that. Time and space, he left. That's what we have to do. That's what an ideational universe is all about. Can we leave the time-space concept of being? If we can, then we reach that very thing that these great thinkers are saying. Mrs. Eddy, as a great thinker, says, all that exists are ideas, the idea of God. The great physicists say that matter does not exist, that it is only a false concept of an idea. An idea is without time, without space. Why don't we want to go there when we can? We can. We have the possibility to mutate because we have consciousness. The only thing that keeps us back is that we like to be immortal. If we wouldn't like to be immortal, then we would just always flow in that rhythm of the seven and their ideas. That's our form. That's how consciousness is man. What consciousness is man? That consciousness which flows with mind, flows through spirit, through soul, through principle, life, truth and love, flows in the Word, flows in the Christ, flows in Christianity, flows in science, flows in science, flows in divine science, flows in absolute Christian science, flows in Christian science, and there is just that one structure there, nothing else. And every attempt to make us a human and to put the main accent on the human is just trying to put some sugar on the cake that smells and stinks. That's all. To put something nice on that stinker, the mortal. Because he really stinks. He has nothing to stand on. He has a beginning, he has an end. He disintegrates. Because it's not reality. Not reality. And trying to, what you say, bolster up the mortal. Do you say that? Yeah. It's the wrong method. It's a metaphysical method. Let's have the mutation. Can you see why I said it takes courage? It takes real courage. Because one feels, am I on the wrong track with that idea? May I lose something? If I am on the wrong track, then I go against my manhood, my humanhood. So one has to have that terrific conviction and insight and understanding that actually only one thing is real, if Christian Science is true, namely that from the infinite one comes one principle and its infinite idea. And their demonstration. Nothing is said about the mortal and about man. Nothing at all. Our new form is to be God's idea. The consciousness of God's idea. If it is not so, then we should be honest and drop Christian Science. And say Christian Science is not right. This should be our honesty. I don't go along with it. Because the very teaching of that textbook is to show that we are not immortal, that we have transmutated, that we have mutated, and seen that we are something else, namely that our consciousness, or consciousness, is God's own consciousness. The honesty demands that we take that standpoint or we leave it. Yes. So we can see that man, what has been called man, is disappearing, and a higher concept comes in that we can see man is really science consciousness, the consciousness of the one being in its structural sense, that's beingness. That's what we are, fundamentally. I remember as a young student, I couldn't get away anymore from something that Mrs. Eddy said in the 10th chapter. She said that the spiritual origin of man, the divine science that ushered Jesus into human presence. I felt, this is the only time Mrs. Eddy says that. Usually she speaks about the spiritual origin of man is God. But God is a compound denomination for all the capitalized terms. So it doesn't really mean something very specific, except that man doesn't spring from mortals, that it comes from God. But here in this only reference, she says that the spiritual origin of man is divine science. And I never left that. I never left that. That was way back in the 30s. I never left it. I began to realize that we are not man nor a mortal. That our origin is divine science, and therefore if the origin is divine science, we are the idea of divine science, that is our beingness. And that divine science ushered Jesus into human presence. So that Jesus is only that what has been ushered into human presence. It's only the translated form into the human plane. Whereas the origin of us is not a God, is not a man, it's divine science. And that has become so clear to consciousness that to me it's just natural. Becomes very natural. That I'm science idea. I can't see very much good about me except science idea. I wouldn't know what. That seems my mutation. And naturally, then if consciousness mutates, then we have a new world picture. We have a new world image. We have different aims in life. It all changes. The value changes. The value measurement of life experience changes. It's no more the same. It's no more trying to improve on the old. It's trying to have completely new values. This is mutation. And naturally, when you mutate, the older state cannot understand us. Never can understand. The chimpanzees can't understand what man is doing. He has the faintest idea. He must have a wonderful time to look at us, see what we are doing. But he doesn't understand what we are doing. And so, if we have not mutated in consciousness and still try to improve the human and think that is the purpose of Christian Science, to improve the human and look after the human, so that he lives, instead of 80 years, he lives 90 years. You see? But then again, it's over. The decision is just pushed a little further, As Jesus made the decision when he was young. He said, I see my way. So, the old system of reference, the old worldview cannot understand the new one. And that we have to see and put up with it. Yeah. So, if we can see that, I think we have cleared the way, cleared out of the way everything that could stand in the way of that pure vision of principle being conscious only of its own idea. And that's the whole of being. There is nothing else. There is no more a material universe to consider, no more a people universe to consider, no more a future universe to consider, no more a past universe to consider. It's the ideational universe is a universe without time, without space. And so all the weight falls from us. All the weight of having a body, of working out a life, of having to work for the future, of all the faults we have made in the past, all that falls away as being of no value, being no factor. We are set free. Absolutely free. There is no truth about us except God's consciousness of Himself. That's the only truth about us. And that's not very heavy.